Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast, the DDP, for the 29th of May. I'm your host, Paul White. Today and tomorrow, 29th and 30th of the month, we will work our way through the fourth chapter. That's 22 verses long, and I know that would be pretty much a record for our pace. I'm not going to make any promises that we'll do it, but we're going to give it a shot. Then on the 31st, 2 days from now, we will air for you our May Deeper Daily Podcast Essay Edition, which will be available in print as well at paulwhiteministries.com. Chapter 4 of the book of Ruth, we enter the climax of the book, the moment where Boaz, having already calmed the fears of Naomi and Ruth, is now going to go to work to do what the 18th verse of chapter 3 said is, he's not going to rest until he concludes the matter this day. Let's read a little bit, try to lay the story out for you. And although 22 verses sounds overwhelming, there's a decent amount of it, or at least several verses, that is genealogy. So we won't have to work quite as hard at the end of the book. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he came aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Now the reason for this, just to give everybody an understanding, stretching back into the days of Moses, there had been a group of elders that had been chosen to take care of the less weightier measures and matters of the law. Moses himself, when he was alive, took care of the judgments in Israel, but then it got overwhelming. There are millions of people. How is he going to do this? It was exhausting him, and he appointed elders to take care of it. As the years roll on, because we're in Ruth now, this is up in the time of the judges, kings will articulate this a little better when you get into 1 Kings, but there'll be each city will have a set of elders that will sit at the city gate, and that's actually a tradition that predates Moses. There is a pretty good body of evidence that this is Lot's role in Sodom, is that he's an elder that sits at the gate, and they are the people who sort of make judgment on some of the things that are happening. They give, it's almost like a little town council or a city council. And so this is where you make things happen. This is this is an early version of community, where community helps make a decision on behalf of everyone else. A little bit of a mini republic. Pure democracy is not always possible and almost never really wanted, to be honest. But this little mini republic will take care of these things. And so Boaz has requested an audience with the elders because of what he's about to do. And he says in verse 3, he said to the close relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may redeem it. I'm sorry, that I may know. For if there is no one but you to redeem it, and I'm next after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." And so basically Boaz says Elimelech had property. There's money that needs to exchange hands in order for that property to become yours. You're first in line because you're his closest relative. The text never names this character either. Maybe it's just not important. But this closer relative than Boaz has the rights of redemption. He gets to purchase the property that was Elimelech's. It gets to be his, and he wants it. And then Boaz puts in this caveat in verse 5. "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." And so Boaz is declaring basically that since there was property owned by Elimelech, it would have went to his sons. His son had a wife, and therefore she's attached. And this goes down sideways with our modern sensibility, but she's attached to the property, and therefore, if you redeem the property, you by default have to take her. And in taking her, you may have to perform levirate marriage. You might need to raise up a son to the elder. Again, there's argument as to whether or not it would have been necessary for her or because she's a stranger, but she's definitely attached to this property. So you can't get around. If you're going to redeem the property, you're going to have to take her to perpetuate the name of the dead through the inheritance. And the close relative said, I can't redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And so the man, it comes down to, I can't do this if she's involved. And he doesn't give his reasons for this, but he can't do it. And that's all Boaz needs to hear. I find it kind of interesting that Boaz leaves the Ruth addition. She's kind of an addendum to the redemption. He leaves her out until he sees if the man wants the property. When the man wants the property, then he throws in, okay, well, you got to take Ruth. And I've stirred this over as to how this works for us under the new covenant. And what I see, of course, is our Redeemer is Jesus. And we are the Ruth character. That's, to me, that's fairly obvious in the text. But what is this instance about inheritance? And what I see is that Jesus was receiving an inheritance from his Father. He was going to have all power in heaven and earth given to him. He was going to take the kingdoms of the world and make them the kingdoms of God. That's Old Testament prophecy. That's Jesus in the wilderness with his serpent. That's full rights of inheritance, Hebrews 1. But with that comes the people living on the earth. We're the Ruth character. There's something attached to the earth. And if the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, you have to do something with this fallen man. You have to do something with Ruth. She's there. You can't have the inheritance of the world and ignore Ruth because she lives on your property. And if Jesus is going to be the inheritor of the world, if he's going to receive the full inheritance of his Father, he has to deal with us, Ruth. We are that idol-worshipping, child-sacrificing vagabond from Moab. We have to be handled. And so God brings, Jesus comes into his inheritance through his Father, but can't ignore his bride. So he takes us and brings us to himself, and we become this bride. Boaz says, the man says, I can't redeem it. Redeem it for me. And Boaz will redeem it for him. Verse 7, this is the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, all that was Chilion's, all that was Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his possession at the gate. You are witnesses this day. And so Boaz does what needs to be done in order to be the Redeemer. Let's finish this story, and then tomorrow it'll set us up for the genealogy. Verses 11 and 12. And all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Well, that came true. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. And notice the comparison that the elders make. They compare Ruth to Tamar. That is not an inappropriate comparison. Tamar dresses as a prostitute and deceives Judah, but her children are prosperous. And these men say, you're taking a strange woman. We hope the best for your union. And he gets the best. In fact, we'll find tomorrow that there's a very close link to David through this family lineage, which is really what got us going on this journey in the first place, since we were dealing with the genealogy of Jesus. That sets us up tomorrow to finish the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth and then the essay edition in 2 days. I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.